Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
4 minutes after 3 a.m. here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer. It is after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We were going to find out a lot about Mike Brown in the playoffs. You know, regular season, the Knicks would be in the same position they were in if Tibbs was the coach. They would have won 50-plus games. They would have had their highs. They would have had their lows. It would have looked completely the same. Whether it was Brown or whether it was Tibbs, it would have looked the exact same. But once we got to the playoffs, not only in the coaching decisions, not only in the way he just made adjustments, but also the players and their stamina and their overall just ability to perform at a high level throughout the playoffs was going to be a credit to Mike Brown. And this is where we were going to find out if Mike Brown was the correct hire. Well, I think it's safe to say, as the team has won 11 straight playoff games, that Mike Brown was, in fact, the right hire. And it started out a little rocky against the Hawks. I thought he was out-coached in the first couple games. But ever since, you know, night one of the NFL draft, Knicks down 2-1 to the Hawks. Ever since then, this has been a completely different basketball team. And Mike Brown has been sensational as the head coach, unlocking bridges, unlocking Karl Anthony Towns, being able to make the adjustments, out-coach everybody in his path, and have this basketball team playing better than it ever has in its history in terms of a dominating stretch. That's how great they have been, the Knicks, and that's how great Mike Brown has been. And he's doing it under just incredible pressure. Incredible. Not just because of the market he's in with the media scrutiny. Not just because the fan base that is thirsty, starving, just salivating for a championship and the expectations going into the year that we all had. But also the fact that I'm sure it was in the back of his mind, if I don't make it to the finals, I'm going to get fired. I'm going to lose my job, even though it's 1 year on the job here, and this team is built to win a championship. It's my first year. You could chalk it up to, well, we need time. You know, it's only 1 year. Give me another year. Give me a couple. We'll get there like you, the guy you hired to win a championship. I think the Knicks would have gotten rid of him, certainly if they lost in the first round. So that pressure, that weight on the shoulders of Mike Brown has got to be just enormous. Now, he could take a deep breath. Hopefully not that deep of a breath, but a deep breath. Because he accomplished the bare minimum for this franchise this year, and that's getting to the finals. But now that they're there, and this has been the theme all night, you never know if you're ever going to get back. And if you're ever going to get back under these circumstances where the team is fully healthy, they're clicking on all cylinders, they're playing great basketball, both ends of the floor, the three-point shot, the defense. You have star players in their prime. You have destiny, like everything. The stars have aligned, the opponents have aligned for you properly, although they would have smoked the Celtics, and a part of me wishes they... I wish they could have beat the Sixers, then beat the Celtics in four, and then still played the Cavs. Just to shut up the Boston fans who thought they were the big bad Celtics. The Knicks would have destroyed Boston. Destroyed them. That's how well they're playing. Or that's how good they're playing. I don't know when they use good and well. Who cares? Do you really care? Is anybody sitting there with a pen? Excuse me, Lugie, you used well there. You should have used good. Why didn't you use well? Because I didn't. I don't know. I just took a shot. Half the time I'm guessing anyway. Oh, that sounded good. I'll go with good. But when I said well there, I was like, eh, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right. It is well. Okay. So then you know what? Maybe if this was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I would have just went with it. But 3 o'clock in the morning, you start to question yourself. You start to hear voices. And the only voice I hear is mine. And I know for a lot of people out there, it's not the voice they love. You hear it like, oh, it's Loogie again at 3 a.m. Yes, it is after hours. And hopefully everybody had a pleasant Loogie evening and everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend. Even with the weather being not the best on Saturday and Sunday. It's still the sign that summer is, you know, it's the unofficial start. I know some people think it's the start of summer. It's really not the start of summer. It's the unofficial start of summer. Just like Labor Day is the unofficial end of summer. But really, it's not. I know we live our lives based on what the kids and the school and all that stuff. But the summer hasn't started yet. Unofficially, it started. Not officially. And certainly with the weather over the weekend, it really didn't feel like summer. But it was a great weekend, especially as a Knick fan. And Monday night was just special across the board in terms of anybody that has been a Knick fan, certainly through all the bad years, 27 years. That's a long, long, long time to wait. Especially the way they played basketball or attempted to play basketball through the lean years. And the emotion that was on Leon Rose's face, if you missed it, there's a viral clip going out there of him crying after the clincher, which tells you how much he has poured into this team. Look, this is his baby. This is his baby that you're seeing. Brunson, Anunoby, Bridges, Cat, Mike Brown, Shamet. This is his baby. This is the team that he created and took the Knicks from sports hell. And put them into, well, sports heaven. Because they are 4 games away from a championship. After being the joke of the NBA, they are now the toast of the NBA. And a lot of credit goes to the architect, Leon Rose. The architect, I don't want to, I shouldn't put it, because we have an architect here. He is the architect. I don't want to, especially, you know, we're getting near contract season again. So I don't want to take that nickname away from him. The architect of the Knicks, that's for sure. Not the architect, which we know is the architect of WFAN, who shall remain nameless, because he just likes going by the architect. You know, he was upset, Jerry, that you didn't call him the maestro. 888-808-1019, that is the phone number to call. Let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
Tommy, my boy, what's going on,
what's
man?
What's happening, Ray? Good to talk to you.
Likewise, I appreciate it. Listen, you know I'm a huge Knicks fan. You remember my phone call when we were playing, the passionate phone call when we were playing the Sixers and Joel and Biatch. So, and I actually went with my nephew to game 3 down in Philly. Nice. We sat in a suite. It was amazing. I mean, it's not the first experience we've had with the Knicks going down there and taking over Philly. Like, just about every time they play in Philly, we go down there ever since Brunson's, you know, been on the team and these guys. But yeah, I say that to say this, you know, I'm a huge Knicks fan, right? So, I've been very annoyed, and I want to talk about SGA and the Thunder after this, but I've been a little bit perturbed about, you know, and I'm not saying you in particular, you know, are throwing shade and hate at Tibbs, but here's the thing. Let me play devil's advocate here a little bit, because there was a guy from The Athletic that was on NBA radio yesterday, and they asked him about the head coaching thing, and the person presented the question to him in a way which was very pro Mike Brown, and the guy said, nah. He said, I don't think this has anything to do with coaching. I think it has everything to do with everything this team has been through the last few years, you know, what Tibbs has installed in these guys and the maturation process. Basically, this guy from The Athletic, I forget his name, said, he literally said, it wouldn't matter which coach you put in, this team was ready. And
well, listen, I mean, you know, I'm definitely not throwing shade at Tibbs. He had a lot to do with turning this team around. He was kind of there at the beginning and one of the first early moves that Leon Rose made to turn this program around. But they made the decision they made. And like I said, during the regular season, we could agree on that. I think the team would have been as good with Tibbs as they were with Mike Brown. But I don't want to discredit what Mike Brown has done for the team, especially when you look at guys like Bridges. What was Bridges with Tibbs? Nothing. Well, and here in the playoffs, he's been unbelievable, and he's been a big reason why they're steamrolling teams.
Tommy, I don't want to discredit Mike Brown, but people are going too far in the other direction. Here's the thing. I'm going to answer your question. Who was Mikal Bridges? He was great in the postseason last year. He single-handedly
He had great moments. I wouldn't call him great. Really. I mean, he had great moments, but I wouldn't say he wasn't like this, though, where he's dropping, 18 or more a night. He wasn't this type of offensive threat like he was. Like, last year, he was not this offensive threat. He just wasn't. He did have moments, like you said, but not like this consistent player that we saw in Phoenix and in Brooklyn at times.
Tommy, and in the regular season, and there's no question in my mind, Tibbs wouldn't have lost those first two games in Atlanta. That's for damn sure, because he never sat Cat and Brunson at the same time, let alone in a playoff game, which cost us those two games. But and the other thing is the regular season. We'll agree to disagree on that, because Tibbs won 52 games, Mike Brown won 53. Tibbs didn't have Brunson for an entire month last year. He didn't have Mitchell Robinson play 60 games this year versus 17 last year. He didn't have Jordan Clarkson.
Look, I get it, but come on, no, they've ripped off 11 in a row at a historic pace here. I think to discredit anything that Mike Brown has done is, I think, incredibly unfair. A lot of pressure, too, by the way.
Tommy, I'm not doing that, but it's incredibly unfair the other way. But both things can be true. But, all right, so on SGA, I went back and started your show from the beginning, and I hear, the reverence when you speak about SGA and Oklahoma City. Listen, I've been calling this station all season, calling Knicks fans cowards who called up and said that the Knicks can win the East, maybe, but they'll never be OKC or whoever comes out of the West. And I call these people cowards because I said making the finals is not enough. This team
has to win the title. Well, it's the bare minimum. It was the bare minimum. Now that we're here, it's about winning the championship. Absolutely.
So as far as SGA, listen, this guy is a playoff shrinker. Let me explain why. First of all, they lose if they don't get that injury to Halliburton and then the injury to Denver.
We'll never know, but they were definitely at risk, that's for sure.
Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, but so check this out, right? SGA shot 6-for-28 in game 7 of the NBA Finals. If Brunson were to do that, you can forget about it. Anyway, and here's the other thing. He's shooting 46% from the field versus 55% in the regular season. He did the same exact thing last season in the playoffs. He's not built for the playoffs like Brunson, like big body Brunson is. And you look at the 17 free throws. This guy he has 25 games this season when he shot over 20 double figure free throws. Jalen Brunson has 5. One of those came in the final 3 games of the regular season. It's not a fair whistle. The league, and Tommy, I'm going to say this, whether you agree or not, I believe, listen, they sent the Knicks to Abu Dhabi this season. They want those global billions. Look at the last few years. Foreign players have significantly had a better whistle in shooting free throws than the American player. You know why? The Americans are already tuned in and spending their billions with the league. These guys want to expand, and they're making superstars out of a guy like SGA that can't even play physically in the playoffs.
I get it. It sounds like a little bit of a tinfoil hat there. I mean, the guys won back-to-back MVPs and a championship.
Because
of the refs?
The whistle makes that much of a difference.
It definitely helps. He is a foul merchant, for sure. He gets the whistle, no doubt about it, but that's part of his game.
All right, so look, Joel Embiid, great whistle. He's from Africa. SGA, Canada. Joker, Slovenia. Luka,
these are great players, though. But Brunson will get the whistle, too, though. You know what I mean? That kind of conspiration theory. I understand what you mean about expansion, but I don't think the refs are told, based on where the country they're from,
they
that they should. No,
I think they are.
I don't think so.
I think they are.
You're entitled
Tommy,
to that opinion, but I disagree with you.
Brunson, that's fine. Brunson gets 5.8 free throws. He doesn't get the free throw calls. These guys are taking literally Luka 12.
No, he doesn't get the star calls. I understand that. But Brunson will seek that out too, for sure, especially when the team is not rolling over teams. That's for sure. You know, he'll see. I wouldn't throw him right in the category of SGA, but there are people that think that that's the case. And look, I thought he was having a bad series, and obviously this is SGA. Obviously, the injuries, especially to J-Dub, is a problem for them, and it puts SGA in a different type of role. But look, he did what he did. He got to the free throw line a lot last night, was able to have a big game, and he's one step away from the championship. Do I think Brunson can outduel him and win a championship? Yes. But am I going to give the respect to the champions? Of course. And when you talk about, you know, SGA struggling a little bit, okay, yeah, but he's also struggling against San Antonio that has a lot of physicality that can make it a little bit tougher on you. And Brunson has an opportunity, if it is OKC, to shut everybody's mouth. That's for sure. And I'm not suggesting that SGA is better, but he's won more MVPs and won a championship. So he's earned the right to have the respect towards him, that's for sure. Even if you don't like the nonsense and the antics and the flopping and the foul merchant and all that stuff. And I can understand if you're not a fan of that team, how he could be hated across the board. He's not like Embiid, where he's just like a baby and a jerk from that standpoint. But seeking out getting fouled can absolutely drive opposing fan bases nuts. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Larry in Bayside. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Tommy. Hey. How's it going? Great show, as usual.
Thank you.
The last quote, with all his great information and knowledge, I'm not quite sure. Because if they go up against OKC, we do have to deal with Alexander. Against Wemby, we know Cat's going to have to be really, really physical. Now, you know, I call usually.
Yeah,
about,
well, also Mitch can be in that role as well. As far they have two bodies for sure. They could throw at Wemby. They could throw at Anobi at Wemby. I think the Knicks have the type of team that can handle Wemby, who does have his off nights as well, where they're like he had 20 points in game five here, but it was a soft 20. He did not make an impact in this game.
He didn't have it last night.
Nope.
You know, but I agree with you. I'm just wondering which is the tougher matchup, because Shea, I don't care.
Healthy, the Thunder are a tougher matchup. They have more depth. They have the championship pedigree. They have a crazy home court advantage. The Thunder, fully healthy, we'll see that. They got two big guys out right now. But if they are fully healthy, I believe the Thunder are a much tougher matchup. Now, 2 years from now, it could be the Spurs, but I just think they're a little ahead of schedule, and that youth would work against them in the finals.
I agree. OKC, you know, they have that three-point shooting. They have a decent...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, especially at home, where role players tend to play a lot better, whether it's a Caruso or the other Jalen Williams. You know, when they are at home, those guys feed off the energy, and they just play a great brand of basketball as far as sharing the basketball. And when they're fully healthy, they're like a machine watching them play. But guess what? So the Knicks have been the same exact way. The Knicks are playing as good as the Thunder played last year, or as good as the Thunder have played this year. So it's more about just propping up the Thunder, not suggesting that the Knicks can't beat them. They can, absolutely. But the Thunder are absolutely a great basketball team.
They are. I agree. And Alexander, I believe, does deserve the MVP again.
He won it back-to-back years. I mean, it's one thing to win it once. The guy won it back-to-back years and a championship on a great team, but he is a big part of that great team.
Oh, without him, they don't win.
Right. Yeah, he is their most important player. But they are missing a few guys right now there, where you have seen SGA drop off a little bit because they don't have their second leading scorer and a guy that just plays lockdown defense, can bring the ball up. They're vulnerable right now because of those guys being out. We'll see long term if they can make it back to the finals. Hopefully they can if they get through. You hate for guys to be hurt, but oh well. You know what I mean? I've been waiting my entire life for a Knicks championship. So however they get it, they get it. That's where I'm at.
Of course. Oh, well, it's a big thing.
How many years did the Knicks have a million injuries, and that was the cause of them getting eliminated? So, you know what? Shoes on the other foot. Oh, well.
Very true. Very true. I'm wearing my Willis Reed jersey right now. I went to sleep with it on.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'll do that too, Larry. I'll just, when I get home, a little peel back the curtain here. I usually fall asleep in the shirt I wore. My wife hates it. She's like, you can't wear the clothes you wore outside into the bed. I go, what are you talking about? What's the difference? So I went to work for 4 hours. I'm working by myself. What do you think? I'm rolling around in the mud? What's it? So I'm lazy like that. I just take the pants off, and then I just sleep in the shirt that I'm wearing. You know, I don't have a Willis Reed jersey on right now, but I have a long sleeve shirt on, and I'll be sleeping this bad boy in a couple hours. That's for sure.
I don't blame you. My wife understands. She does.
The king of the castle, sort of. The cat is, who got neutered today, by the way. But he's doing a lot better.
And the fella that called, you know, going to Italy, you can't tell him to break up with his woman.
Well, listen, you can always get another girlfriend. You can't always get another championship. You know what I mean? There's a plenty of fish in the sea, so to speak. I was a little tongue-in-cheek there, but he's in a major dilemma, Larry. What would you suggest he does? He's if you're just tuning in... Hold on, Larry. I'll set it up. If you're just tuning in, we had a caller before the break who was basically in a panic because he's about to go to Italy for 14 days with his girlfriend for a wedding. The wedding is literally during, I think, Game 7 of the finals. So he is going to miss a lot of the series, meaning miss it being here in New York. And if it doesn't go 7 and the Knicks, you know what I mean? If the Knicks win in 7, he'll be back for the parade. But if the Knicks win in 5, he'll miss the parade. And he wondered out loud and almost in a panic what he should do. So my first suggestion was break up with the girlfriend. My second suggestion was talk to her and see if you could miss the wedding, give him a little bit of extra money, book a flight home early so you're back in time, no sweat.
These are plane tickets. These are reservations. This is 14 days. My wife would kill me. She'd leave me after 31 years.
Well, what kind of loyalty is that to you, though? You tell me 33 years of a marriage, she's going to throw it out the window because you left Italy, you know, a 14-day trip a couple days early to see something that could be once in a lifetime, which is a Knicks championship? I mean, I think she'd have a little more loyalty as a wife to you, no, Larry?
No. Well, yeah, no, I'm kidding about that. I wouldn't make plans like that because we usually go in the winter.
Well, but the problem is that, Larry, it's not that they made plans. It's that the wedding, the people that are getting married, who are really at fault here, they're the ones that have their wedding, a destination wedding, too, in Italy, which is beautiful. But they're the ones that have had the wedding here booked on this date. So it's really not that this fella, Mike, and his girlfriend planned this vacation. They just built the vacation around Italy because, you know, you're going to a beautiful place. You want to take advantage of it.
You think they made plans for the wedding over a year ago, probably?
Yeah, I would say at least. Yeah, a year plus, probably.
So what the hell? I mean, I don't know. I disagree with you.
Well, what do you disagree with? What part are you disagreeing with? He's got to get it back here. I mean, I don't think that's even... He can't go to the parade in Italy. He's got to get back to New York City.
He has to get back here. He has no option. I'm telling you, he has no option.
What are you talking about? He could go to his girlfriend and explain to her the situation and say, do you mind... Would it be a fireable offense here, so to speak, if I booked a flight home early and I made it back for the parade?
All right. We agree to disagree.
Well, Larry, look, you know, the guy, you heard the phone call, and you can go back on the Odyssey app, the rewind function, right before the break at the 3 o'clock top of the hour. Mike at Staten Island was in a full-blown panic about this. Now, he committed to not only the relationship that he's in, but to this wedding, to this trip, knowing that if the Knicks made the finals, this would be a problem. And let's be honest, the Knicks didn't come out of nowhere to make the finals. This isn't like 27 years ago where if you were in the same predicament, you could say, well, I didn't think they'd make it. And you could maybe understand it. They were the favorites to get there, certainly at the beginning of the year. Like I say, you got two options. You break up with the girlfriend. If you don't want to do that, I understand that. I say it half joking. And the other option is sitting your girlfriend down, or if this was a situation where it was you and your wife, and explaining what's at stake here. Perhaps that she would understand. I doubt it, but perhaps. Boy, it's tough when you are... And I don't know if these two people are sports fans that are having the wedding or anything like that. I didn't ask. But when you are engaged and you know you're going to have a wedding, let's say 100 to 200 people are going to be at the wedding, give or take. It's usually the going rate. And I thought about this too when I was getting married. I'm like, man, you gotta find a time of year or a date that at the bare minimum doesn't conflict with playoffs. Right? So think about the safe months. March, July, August, September, back end of the year, although football season, you definitely don't want to do it on a Sunday. That's why the middle of the, and that's why it's so popular. That July and August is super popular. It's the slowest time of year for sports. And I know this sounds crazy if I wasn't on a sports talk radio station right now talking about this, but talking about this on a sports talk radio station, we've all been there, whether we've gotten married or have had to go to a wedding and have been in the unfortunate situation that Mike finds himself in. Now, he's in a very unique spot because it's in Italy. It's out of Poughkeepsie. And you know he's going to be just a wreck that entire time out there. He's got to sit down with his girlfriend and have a chat because this is... I'm sure she wants to go there and ride the gondola and just because Italy's a very romantic place, the food, the romance, the wine, you know how it goes. Meanwhile, you're going to be up at 2:30 in the morning screaming about the Knick game and all you can think about is getting back to New York City to hang out a parade with millions of people. And I don't know the relationship between your girlfriend and the people getting married, but I would imagine it's a strong one if you're going to Italy for their wedding. Like my one buddy who didn't end up doing this was like, yeah, I think I'm out getting, we're going to have the wedding, you know, in another country. I was like, please don't. Please don't. I barely want to go to weddings in Huntington right now. Nothing against Huntington. I'm just wedding out. That's just where I'm at right now. So I just, at some point, you just got to draw the line and be like, enough already. Now, obviously, if it's somebody very important to me, yeah, 100%. But, you know, especially now that Now that I'm not only am a sports fan, now when you're the career sports talk radio, well, you can't take off, you know how it goes. You can't take off this month. Okay, fine. Well, you can't do this month either. Well, what, can you tell me what month I could take off? Well, in July. Well, everybody takes off in July, so we're just going to use July. Excuse me, it's a slow time in sports talk radio. Do you mind getting married in July? That'd be great for me. Doesn't always work that way. So you got a few options, but I do think you have to have a con. And by the way, he brought it up to his girlfriend a couple of days ago. This should have been something you had a conversation with her months ago. Never spring it on. In that instance, you should have done the forgiveness. You should have just, instead of permission, you should have just been like, you know, she wakes up one day and you're on a halfway home on a flight. Like, my bad. Sorry. Have a great time. I'll see you when you get back. And certainly you run the risk of her being like, yeah, that's it. It's over. But you got to make a choice in life. But you need to have the conversation. And a couple days ago, I would have opted for a little bit earlier than that. That's for sure. Let's go to Ed in Mohegan here on The Fan. It's After Hours, Lugie in the Late Night. What's up, Ed?
What do you say? Straight up, who's the ace on the Mets? What do you got? Peralta?
Before Holmes got hurt, I had Holmes as the ace, and I certainly would. But before he got hurt,
he was pitching like it, but he's really not. I'm talking about a guy like
McClain,
Reed, man. A guy like
McClain,
huh?
Nolan McClain.
No, not lately.
Right, but you just asked
me. I'm talking about a stopper. They don't have that. They don't have a stopper.
But Ed, you asked me a question. I gave you two names. You jumped on. So you wanted me to get to Peralta. That's the answer you wanted me to give you. And then you're going to tell me Peralta's not the guy.
No, I'm not asking you. I'm saying
they don't have one. But I gave you two answers, and you didn't like either answer. But so now,
because they're not aces.
But Nolan McClain, I feel like...
You're going to compare them.
Yes. Clay Holmes was pitching like an ace, and Nolan McClain is the guy you would believe to be the ace of this team for years to come.
Maybe. He's a rookie.
I'm not comparing them to other aces, but you're asking me based on the rotation they have, who's the ace. So if you want to go with they don't have an ace, okay.
Oh.
But if you're asking me who I think the ace is, meaning you, I thought we had to assign somebody the ace of the staff, then I would have said it was Holmes the way he was pitching. And if not, I would like McClain to be that ace.
Okay. Maybe I should have worded it differently. The point is they need an ace. What they have right now is nice. A combination of nice number twos and number threes, maybe number fours, but they don't have a true ace.
Well, listen, they're going to be in the market big time for Skubal. I do, who's obviously hurt right now, which is not going to hurt his free agency at all. He's one of the best, if not the best pitchers in sports. Yeah, and he already got hurt, so hopefully that's done for him. I think the Mets will be big game hunting when it comes to Skubal, but I do believe that. Right now, McClain is not pitching like an ace, but I do think one day he will be that ace. Peralta, you brought him in here. You traded a bunch of guys to be that, if not the one, the 1A to McClain and be that stopper. But you don't like the answer, but Clay Holmes was that guy. Like he was pitching like an ace, and he was a guy you trusted to win a game and be that stopper and be that kind of guy to stop the bleeding.
He was. He was the closest thing they had. You know what? You mentioned Scooble. I mean, you go for him or you go for King, who's healthy and is a little younger. I think he's younger. King's going to be a free agent, too, from San Diego.
Yes, yes.
Formerly the Yankees.
Formerly the Yankees. Gets hurt a bunch, but I like Michael King.
I mean, would you take him over Scooble?
No.
Without the injury, it's Scooble.
No.
The injury scares me.
Scooble's on the short list of the best pitchers in baseball. No. I'm not going to be scared off by that.
I agree with you, but yeah. I'm saying the injury doesn't make you nervous?
No. Yeah, Michael King's had a lot of injuries, too. So you're giving me a guy that, you know, if you said, hey, if Cam Schlegler became available or Paul Skeens became available, then a little different story, but not a guy that's had injury history. So, no, I'm not scared off by the injury at all. I would be very much invested, if I were the Mets, and as every team that can afford it, in Scooble in the offseason. Now, we don't know what the parameters of this offseason is going to be with a potential, you know, new CBA and things of that nature, but assuming that there won't be a salary cap and there'll be more like a salary floor, yes, if I'm the Mets, I'm going to be very much interested in Scooble. And I'm not writing a Nolan McClain off after, you know, two bad starts. I know that you, when you want the ace and the stopper to be, you know, a sub-2 ERA, but I do think McClain has the stuff, the makeup, and all that to be that guy, for sure.
It's just weird watching a team. I mean, look, they got Soto. He's a generational talent. That's, you know, they had to have somebody to build around, but to not have to have the pitching they have when you spend that kind of money on a player, it's a little amazing to me, especially when you're the New York Mets.
Well, listen,
you know, there's really not that much out there either.
Well, what do you mean about
really
there?
Not that
you
much
mean to
out
acquire
there.
In a trade at this point, or you're saying in the offseason?
Either way.
Well, I mean, Scooble's one of the best pitchers in baseball, and he's going to be out there. So, I mean, I don't know how much better you can do than him sitting there waiting for you. Yeah, well, that's a big one.
Yeah, it's huge. And they do need him, and I would take the chance. Yeah. I just don't know. The injuries make me nervous, even with Fried. I mean, they're staying.
But here's where you can't have it both ways. You can't say that injuries and stuff like that makes you nervous and then say that they don't have an ace and you discredit what Clay Holmes is. If you want to get in business and in bed with an ace, you either homegrown guy like McClain or you're going to have to spend a lot of money and a lot of years on a guy like Fried or a guy like Scooble or a guy like Skeens. That's what it's going to cost. So you're either going to have to pony up or you're going to have to build within your farm system. So you can't have it both ways here. You got to just have to take that leap or do the whole, hey, we got these young pitchers. We got McClain. We got Tong, we got Christian Scott, we got more on the way. Like, that's going to be the aces of the staff. And that's what it is. And they brought in Peralta. Now, you may not like the fact that he doesn't go more than five or six innings. You may not like the production, but he led the NL in wins last year. You know, and he's a multiple-time All-Star. Like, he is certainly has that makeup of an ace of a staff. Like, they went out and addressed that in the offseason. And there was nobody they were getting at the deadline last year in terms of a pitcher. Starting pitcher.
If they all stayed healthy, they would have been all right, especially with Holmes.
Yeah. Holmes got hurt because he took a line drive off his leg. I mean, that's a freak injury.
Yeah.
It's not an arm injury.
Yeah, of course. Hey, look, you know what? I want to see them do well, but I don't know, man. Even Peralta's going to be a free agent.
Peralta's one where they gave up a bunch of players, but if Peralta wants too many years and too much money, I think the Mets would rather go for a Scooble than Peralta. I think that goes without saying, but I'll say it, that he's at a different level. So I think that they will be looking towards Scooble. They still have McClain as a young pitcher. Tong, we're going to see what he's got over the next couple months. Scott, you know, that sort of thing. So they obviously have put a lot and invested a lot in their young pitchers, and then they will be looking, I'm sure, to add pitchers in the offseason as well at the top of the rotation, starting with Scooble and then going from there. There's also not a ton of aces. Like, that's just not. You know, aces, you know, year in and year out, where you could say that guy's an ace year in and year out. It just doesn't always. There aren't a million of them, you know, necessarily growing off trees.
Your opinion. Do you think the Pirates try and move Skeens?
No.
They're going to want a King's ransom.
No,
no,
I don't.
They're going to keep him.
They're going to keep him. Yeah.
All right,
he's got a long way to go for free agency. I do not see that happening. No. And look, the Pirates spent a bunch of money in the offseason. Like, they're trying to win. Like, they made a lot of moves in the offseason. And who, like I said, we don't know what's going to happen with the CBA. Like, it might force teams, and the Pittsburgh's not one of them, they did spend, but it might force teams to spend. And if that's the case, it changes things a lot. I don't think you should limit the top teams in their spending, but I do think you have the bottom teams that rather put in their pocket instead of on the field should be forced to spend the money. But I don't see Skeens going anywhere anytime soon. Scooble is out. He'll be gone from the Tigers. We know that. The Dodgers will be heavily interested. The Mets will be heavily interested. You always put the Yankees in the conversation, although when you look at their rotation, I can't imagine that Scooble would be at the top of their list. That's for sure. If he fell in their lap, they would take him, obviously, but he's not going to fall in their lap. Not when you have teams like the Dodgers and the Mets out there. Phillies, teams that are going to want to spend money. And there could be like a team out of nowhere that just goes, hey, we're going to bring in Scooble and we're going to write him a massive check. That is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is a loogie in the late night. We got about, let's call it 90 minutes until Al and Jerry and the warm-up show come your way. That's plenty of time to take your calls on the Knicks, of course, the top story, 27 years in the making. They are back in the finals. We don't know the opponent yet, although the Thunder are up 3-2. Game 6 will take place Thursday night, and perhaps Friday morning we will know who the Knicks' opponent would be. It would be the Thunder. Otherwise, the Spurs have forced a Game 7. And as a Knicks fan, let it go 7. Let it go 8. Let it go 10. Let it be a triple overtime in Game 7. I want these teams licking their wounds, battled, bruised, just beaten. So the Knicks, who are sitting back drinking a pina coladas right now at the pool, are relaxed, chilled, cool, calm, collected. Another long layoff, which will be a big advantage for them as whoever survives the Western Conference Finals will have gone through certainly a very tough, rugged, brutal series. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. We'll get back right after this.
Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
3:44 here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. Hopefully everybody had a very pleasant Lugie evening. I know I did, as I'm still basking in the glory of a 27 years in the making Knicks run to the finals. And it's better than I could ever have dreamed. 11 straight wins. All of them in dominating fashion. These closeout games have been just historic in terms of the margin. The Knicks have not lost a game in a month. The Knicks have not lost a game since the WFAN watch party. I mean, Boomer and Tiki have already forgotten that it took place with the busy lives they lead. It was a month ago, over that. And the Knicks have just been bulldozing, steamrolling, crushing, belt to ass their opponents. Whether it was Atlanta at the back end of that series, Philly in the sweep, and then Cleveland in the sweep. It's better than I could have ever dreamt it. No sweat, no agita, no aggravation. Never once during those 11 games, including when they were down 22 with 8 minutes to go, essentially, there was no game where I thought, oh, the Knicks are dead. They're going to lose. That's how confident I am in and cocky in this basketball team. That's how great they've been. The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. You know, speaking of the Cavs, how in the world do you bring Kenny Atkinson back, which is what they're doing? And I like Kenny Atkinson. I thought he got a raw deal with the Nets. He got completely hosed in that situation. But, and by the way, thankfully, KD and Kyrie picked the Nets because the Knicks would have gotten them in theory, and the Knicks would probably not be in the situation they're in. The Nets still haven't recovered from that. Kenny Atkinson. I wouldn't even say he was out to lunch in game one. I literally think that was like a stand-in, like a Weekend at Bernie's type of situation. He took a cab and went to go see a Broadway show during the fourth quarter of game one. As bad a coaching job down the stretch as you will ever see. He was awful, awful in this series. And this series was only one game, game one, because after that it was just a scrimmage. It was just the Knicks flexing their muscles for three straight games. The series was game one. If the Cavs were able to hold on to that victory and finish, this entire series would have taken a different shape. Because now it would have been like, all right, let's see how the Knicks respond to this long losing streak getting snapped. They got blown out at home in game one. Are they still rusty in game two? Like, there would have been so many different questions that needed to be answered. The Cavs wouldn't have been a defeated. And now they're gutless. They have no heart at all. But you get a little momentum. Knicks perhaps could have got a little tight. There's no way to know how it would have went. I have my feelings on how it would have went, but we don't know for sure. I thought the series was going five, still thought it would have went five, but who knows? And we'll never know because Kenny Atkinson either took a nap, went to go see a Broadway show, or completely forgot that this was a playoff game. Maybe he thought it was a summer league game, and they were just having fun out there. Like, it was a CYO game. He's not going to call a timeout. So as far as that, abysmal. And then the ridiculous, tone-deaf, asinine comments that he made about the analytics and how his team analytically had won two games in that series. Kenny, your team is getting boat raced. You're getting your ass beat. And you're bringing up analytics that you're winning in analytics, won two games analytically. Look, we could take calls from now to the end of time about analytics. And I would imagine even the analytical people heard Kenny's comments and went, Kenny, can you pipe down? Like David Stearns probably called up Kenny Atkinson and listen, it's hard enough for me in this town. Can you not bring up the analytics stuff here and saying that you're up in this series analytically? You know, two games to one. Nobody wants to hear that. You got swept. You historically, in just brutal, epic fashion, blew a game one lead of 22 points with a little less than 8 minutes to go. Your team is gutless. One of your best players, I use air quotations, rather be at a strip joint than on the basketball court. And he's another idiot that said after the series, well, we were the better team. Really, James? You know what? Why don't you pack it in? You've already ruined how many franchises? How many more franchises does James Harden need to ruin? You know, ask a Net fan if you can find one. Ask a Rocket fan. Ask a Sixer fan. Ask a Clipper fan. The guy's the worst. He is a sports loser. He torpedoes every team he's on. And the idea that he's going to come out after the series and pull his best, you know, Alonzo Mourning and say, well, we're a better team. Well, really? You lost four straight, but somehow you're better. Are you also looking? I doubt James Harden even knows where the analytical department even is. I doubt he's even focused on that. But between Harden and Atkinson and then the Cavs, I think they were tweeting out, you know, this is the way the fans should act, you know, cheer when the team's on a run, chant defense. What are we doing here? What a bleep show. You got Travis Kelce chugging beers with Taylor Swift. And look, credit to them, I guess. They stayed for the end of the game. I mean, credit to them. I mean, they're rich. I mean, what are they doing? They got walked out of there. I mean, they're not sitting in traffic, that's for sure. Probably had a helicopter or something. But either way, they stayed. And shout out to all the Knicks celebrities that travel. Although, as some, because I said that the other day, so I'm like, man, that's really great. It goes, well, they are rich. It's easy. Well, but still, I mean, they don't have to necessarily, I get it, it's easier, but they're still very passionate, very loyal fans. And they're being rewarded as we all are. You know, whether you're fortunate in life to be able to make the trek to Cleveland, or if you're planning on doing either OKC or San Antonio for the finals, which, by the way, still will be cheaper than going to Madison Square Garden. The ticket prices for the finals are going to be, I mean, you basically have to, I don't know how anybody, like, there's a part of me, although my work schedule is in all likelihood not going to allow it, there's a part of me that's sitting around going, yeah, you know, maybe Evan. Evan would be a moron not to sell these tickets. Now, he's already rich. We know that. He's been working at WFAN for, even if, and we know he took hometown discounts. He would tell you that. But still, the guy's been working in New York City as a radio host for years. He's probably got a mill in cash under the bed. And knowing Evan, he probably does. He has four season tickets. He hates when I count his money, so I won't continue to count it. But he's not hurt. There's a cup full of pencils in front of him, that's for sure. Yeah, he's doing well. But still, I mean, if you have these tickets and you're not a Knick fan, I mean, can you make 10 grand off these? Would somebody pay that? It's possible. Astronomical, but rightfully so. It's New York City, the greatest city in the world. It's the Knicks in the playoffs in the finals for the first time in 27 years. They have a chance to do something that this franchise has not done in 50 plus years. Have at it. But that will definitely be, I'm telling you, you could probably fly to San Antonio, stay at the nicest hotel, first class, and still pay less than going to one game at Madison Square Garden. Now, I don't know what there is to do necessarily in a San Antonio or a OKC, but who cares? You're going there to see the Knicks. I'm sure there's a watering hole you can hang out. You can go get a brewski after the game. Or before the game. Or both. But I wonder if anybody out there, if you are, hit me up, 888-808-1019, are even contemplating a trip like that. I think the only way you do it is in a clincher. If it's a clincher, then I would strongly consider doing it as far as being on the road. Because you still are paying for flights and hotels and food and the tickets themselves, which is not cheap. But it's a memory that lasts a lifetime, especially if it's a clincher. And you have to take the risk that if they lose, they lose. It is what it is. But right now, the way this team is playing and they feel like a team of destiny, I would say you're making a very strong and smart investment. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Steven is in Dutchess County here on The Fan. What's up, Steve?
What's going on, Tommy? We spoke a couple months ago.
Yes.
We're talking about with Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yep, we're all good, bro. Good to talk to you again. I remember the conversation. I'm sorry that it had to be a few months since our last conversation, but it's good to hear from you.
About a month ago. Yeah. You haven't talked in a while. Listen, I've been a fan. I'm 56 years old. I've been a fan for over 45 years. 90s, 80s, this is one of the best teams I've ever seen all time. We even said it would get the ball out of Brunson's hand. I said, let Cat be the quarterback.
Yep.
Team will go. We talked about it, and you know what? I don't care if it's the 80s Lakers, Showtime Lakers, anybody. Nobody's beating them. They're winning the championship, hands down. They're one of the best teams out there.
Well, they're playing the best basketball of any team left. That's for sure.
Yeah, they're playing defense, they're scoring, they're getting out and running. You know what I mean? They one of the best teams. Listen, hands down, I don't see nobody beating them.
The way they're playing right now, I appreciate the call, Steve. The way they're playing right now and the health and the depth and the chemistry, not only offensively but defensively, three-point shooting, it's just immaculate. It's been that great. And that's why I've been saying this all morning long, and you're going to hear me say it from now until June 3rd and beyond that. Yes, getting to the finals was bare minimum, and they accomplished that. Jobs were saved because of that. Certainly the tough questions or the tough things that would be said about Leon Rose and his decision to get rid of Tibbs and hire Mike Brown are now all gone, as Mike Brown has been unbelievable as the coach, and they did make the finals, so they accomplished that mission. But now that they're here, and especially in the manner in which they got here, dominating historical fashion, now they have to win, though. Four wins might seem like a low number. Four wins? They can get four wins. What's four wins? What separates the four wins separates a great year, a fun year, a year that you can look back on and remember. Like, I still remember the last time the Knicks were in the final and think fondly of it, especially considering where they were seated and the run that they went on. But those four wins, if you can get them, you go from great year, fun ride, to iconic, legendary. It will live forever, especially when we're talking about 50 plus years of no championship. With a fan base and a city that is starving for one. the emotion we saw on Leon Rose's face where he was crying after the game, that's going to be most Knicks fans. Tears of joy. Because it's been far too long. And Knicks basketball is back. It's been back. But when you get this close, playing at the level that you're playing at, you got to win. Because you never know. Next year, they might not have health on their side. They might not have other things on their side. They might not be playing like this. It's just, when the stars align, you got to take advantage of it. You have to. You never know if you're going to get back. It's not a given. I'm sure there are Kansas City fans going, oh, yeah, we're going to get back. I mean, look, they've won championships, but still. Oh, we have Patrick Mahomes. No given. There are no guarantees in sports. When you get there and you are playing at this level and you have this type of health and you feel like a team of destiny, you have to take advantage of it. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Lugie here, Tommy Lugauer, in the late night. We got one more hour to go before Alan Jerry and the warm-up show at 5 a.m. Plenty of time to take your calls on the Knicks, sprinkle a little baseball as well, Mets and Yankees. All that on the table for the next hour. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to join the conversation. It's Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the late night here on The Fan.
Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
What the heck is going on with all these promotional popcorn buckets? The giant shorts that all of Gen Z is wearing now? And whatever the heck Hyrox is? I'm comedian and certified hater Matt Belisai, and these are the types of questions I'm demanding answers to on my podcast, What the Heck with Matt Belisai. Listen or watch every Thursday as I rant about all the internet trends, pop culture stories, and personal mayhem that makes me scream, What the Heck? Follow What the Heck with Matt Belisai wherever you get your podcasts.